using art to convey powerful messages. I'm wondering if you can remember the first time that you became aware of the power of art to affect us on a deep level, as well as just entertain us.
Yes, it's a great question, and I remember it very, very clearly. I was about 10 years old in South Africa, which was at that time, as I'm sure you know, very cut off from the rest of the world, living in an apartheid, under an apartheid regime. And I went to the cinema with my little friend. There was no television, by the way. There was no TV in the country until 1976. I was 13 years old before I ever saw a television set. And that was partly the state trying to keep the outside world out. And so we used to watch movies, whether on 16mm at home, on, you know, projected against a sheet on the wall, or you know, and when we could afford to go to a film. And I went with my friend, my little childhood friend, and we went to see a film called Air Lollipop, which no one in America has probably ever heard of. And it was a simple little story about a little white boy and a young black boy who were good friends on a farm and who were separated under apartheid. And I remember when they had to go to school, they were segregated. And I remember watching this film, and for the first time in my life, I was watching people that spoke with my accent in a film, because there were so few films made in South Africa. So we always watched films to learn about what people overseas did. And I remember sitting there absolutely rigid in my chair going, oh my God, this is about us, about me. And I remember then saying, I want to tell stories. This is an amazing medium. I'd always thought it was only other people who were allowed to tell stories when you come from a place far, far away.
Right.
So that was a profound moment. And of course, it was also a political moment, because it was about what we were feeling and struggling with as young kids. You know, anyway, I don't want to overstate it, but film can have, in many ways, not necessarily overtly politically, sometimes it's an emotional experience, sometimes it speaks to you about relationships, or you know, we identify with characters on the screen and with stories generally, we always have, and they can really help us find our way.
So Eye in the Sky is addressing core moral questions. Are some lives worth more than others? Can restraint be as courageous as action? Does remote control warfare affect how we use violence? Is moral flexibility acceptable in the name of security? I'm wondering what draws you to fictional filmmaking to highlight these issues rather than a documentary format?
That's a great question, and frankly, I think it's just because I love storytelling as a way to tell the truth. It's ironic, I have a friend who does documentaries, and sometimes the documentarian is trying to use reality to tell a story, and in a weird way we're telling a story in order to examine reality. And because it's fiction, we can bend that story and examine themes and construct a story that, I hate to say this regretfully, because there are so many great documentaries, fictional feature films tend to reach a wider audience. And for good or bad, there's something about being able to craft that story in a way that it really draws an audience in and have it play to as wide an audience as possible. And so I don't know that I consciously chose this particular way of expressing myself. I just love crafting stories that move an audience, entertain an audience, but also give them something to talk about.
Interesting. One of my favorite psychologists, Alice Miller, writes at length about how art can help minimize the effects of trauma. Mm-hmm. This film is obviously about very traumatic events that are going on in the world right now. I'm wondering how you feel art can help people process events, or if you feel that it can.
I think it does both. I mean, especially when you're creating fiction, because in some ways it's about the catharsis, right? You can generate, but you can also create a disturbance in an audience's mind that encourages them to see the world just from a slightly different perspective. And what I think Guy Hibbert's script does so brilliantly is, in this particular film, is he wrote a script that examines a particularly difficult question in this world of modern drone warfare from multiple points of view. There are characters in the film that see this event from very different perspectives. And what I hope we've done with the film, and which I think Guy scripted so well, is to allow the audience to empathize with a great many people, including the innocent bystander, the young girl who is the victim of this attack, but also the character of Helen Mirren, who's the military intelligence officer, the character of Alan Rickman, who's the general trying to liaise between the military and the politicians. I think you get to see in this film a particularly modern problem from multiple points of view. And I hope we're not trying to tell anyone in the audience what to think. I hope we're presenting a scenario that allows the audience to make up their own mind. Firstly, to have a really good, entertaining thriller experience on the edge of their seat, but then to hopefully have a good old debate and argument with their mates afterwards.
I understand you believe that easy distinctions between good and evil should not be made, and you've explored this in other areas of your work. Life is far more complex. It is shades of grey. Why do you think we're so attracted to making everything black and white? Is it, do we crave simplicity or order?
Well, we crave certainty, don't we? Right. We've always craved certainty. In this great big world, as a caveman sitting there looking at the dark sky and wondering, why am I here? What am I? We want to make sense of the world, and that's where religion comes from, and that's where, on the other side, scientific exploration comes from. Who are we? Why are we here? How does it all work? And the truth is, in my view, we'll never really know that answer, and that makes us vulnerable. But we can try to come to grips with what our values are, and by exploring the murky grey areas, the difficult ethical questions, creating scenarios, as I hope we do in this film, that don't have easy answers, we ironically might find ourselves being less judgmental of others rather than more. I think when you have a philosophy of pure good versus evil, then you automatically assume you're good, because why wouldn't you be? And therefore, in the name of your goodness, you might do terrible things.
Or at least better.
Oh, yes, or better. We know superior, dear. That's the old British phrase. Yes, my dad was British, so I'm British and South African. But yes, there is a sense in which when you see the world in a binary way, good, bad, dare I say black, white, I think it's unhealthy, and mainly because I think it prevents you from asking yourself to what extent might you be capable of wrongdoing or evil, or, you know, where do you fit? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've all done things we're not proud of. We've all done things where we are more proud of ourselves. We don't exist as good or evil.
Yes.
We're constantly trying to reach towards our better selves, both individually and as a species. And we let ourselves down.
Yeah.
And we have to remind ourselves that we're capable of being better.
Is the genesis of evil. I mean, I did a show on Are We Born Good? Because most people who find themselves doing terrible acts didn't start off that way. I mean, there's a road to how you get there, and if you see it as very clear-cut, then you just lose all your empathy, I think, for people's situations and how they may have found themselves making choices that are obviously wrong, but maybe, you know, not for very simple reasons.
Yes, exactly. I think somehow this theme that you're talking about has sort of fed into a lot of my work, and certainly into my better films, where characters are in search of their own moral compass, and it's not an easy thing to find. And the kind of scenario that Guy presents in this film, in Eye in the Sky, is a classic one that asks, that puts the audience, I think, in, certainly when I was reading it, it put me in a spot. I didn't have an easy answer. I thought I did at one point in the read, and then I thought, really? Is that what I think? Oh my God, was I thinking that? Well, maybe I don't think that anymore. That's great storytelling. That's, you know, I don't really need to go to the cinema to be smugly told what I already feel to be true. I need to be challenged. And I think that's what's so great about these festivals, is they bring films from all over the world and offer different perspectives and ways of seeing, ways of being. That's exciting.
Yes. I haven't seen the film yet, obviously, but I understand it has some humorous moments. I was wondering how you see humor functioning within such a difficult topic area.
That's a great question. It's one of the things that I talked a lot, the actors and I talked a lot about, is what's the fine line? What happens in this film is the tension ratchets up so much, and the frustration about the inability of certain politicians and certain people to make a decision, actually understandable that they're struggling with the decision, by the way, but the frustration that various people feel over this delay in making a decision becomes almost farcical at a certain point, not in an over-the-top sort of French farce sense, but in a real, profoundly human way. We've all been in those situations where you're so frustrated at one point, and the next minute you find yourself just bursting out laughing. This is so ridiculous that you have to laugh. And I think that that's the fine line. If you keep the audience in only one emotional place for an entire movie, it can become exhausting. I think what in particular Alan does so well, and Helen as well, it's where they just, not because they're trying to be comedic, but just this dry delivery of a line, this acerbic wit in a moment of genuine frustration allows you to release the tension through laughter. And it was a fine line to walk in the film, but I think with the kind of actors we had, we were able to pull it off.
Well, I look forward to seeing it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for a lovely interview. It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.